Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with prayer. Through today, we will be taking up the offering to help those who have been affected by the wildfires in California. This money will be sent to send relief through the Southern Baptist Convention. So if you haven't given to that, you can still give today, and it will go to that. Just designate it to that, if you would, if you write a check or if you put it in one of the envelopes, just write on there, send relief. Don't forget, Saturday, March the 22nd, 5 p.m., baby shower honoring Malik and Destina, given by Nana and Bopper and Andy Dutton. And its location is at Pastorium, and it's not 259, it's 251 North Adair Street. The ones and nine, not even close together. Y'all know that? I'll tell you, this person that does these bulletins, I don't have to talk to him. But it's 251 North McGriff Street. Dream Team Church Council meeting today here at 4:30 p.m. So if you can, be here for that as we make plans for 2025, y'all. So please be here for that. Stand in the Gap Men's Ministry is February the 20th. That's this Thursday at 7 p.m. here at the church. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Everything's quiet. As we go to our time of prayer, opening prayer this morning, we do want to remember Gordon Cloud. He's the pastor at Pine Forest. Brother Tim got a text, I think, that he's in the hospital in Thomasville, right? In Thomasville. Either having some tests or maybe procedures or something done, so we need to remember him and also remember Pine Forest, the church there. Any others, y'all? Continue to remember Mike and Alan Pope. Continue to remember him and others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. And Lord, we do just want to lift up the ones that we mentioned today, Brother Gordon and Alan and Mike and the others, Lord, that are just not doing well today, Lord. And we just want to lift them up to you and put them in your hands today, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that they would have a peaceful and pain-free and restful day today, Lord. Lord, but we do come today, Lord, just glorifying you and worshiping you today, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Lord, that we all have prepared ourselves for true worship, Lord, and that true worship would involve the singing, Lord, and the hymns that we sing to glorify God, Lord. But it also involves the preaching of your word, Lord. And as Brother Tim stands before us and proclaims your word today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that it reaches all of us, Lord, that whether we saved or lost, Lord, that it touches us in a way, Lord. For the lost, I just pray, Lord, that it draws them to that salvation, Lord. And for those that are saved, Lord, I just pray that it encourages us, Lord. It lifts us up, Lord, and makes us realize, Lord, that you are God. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
If you can this morning, please stand as we start our worship service with 495, Serve the Lord with Gladness.
Serve him with gladness, enter his
6:08.
Thank you. also a reality in our lives. If you'll turn in your Bible this morning to James chapter 2, last week we started looking at James chapter 2, but 2 weeks ago we looked at what James was saying at the last part of chapter 1 in verse 26. James challenged believers, church members, not just to think you're religious, okay? Because he clearly calls out and he says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not do certain things, then that person's religion is useless, is what James says. And James got what he said from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit leading and guiding him. And so today we're going to look at how instead of thinking, sometimes we say things, right? But do we actually do the things we say? I've always been taught this, don't just listen to what people say, look at what they do. Amen? Because actions speak what? Louder than words. You can call yourself a Christian. I can call myself a Christian. There are many throughout our nation that calls themselves Christians. But my question this morning is going to lead to this. Do the things we do back up the words we say? If we call ourselves Christians, who should we be acting like? If we are Christians, then how should we treat those around us? How should we take care of the needs of those around us? Let's look at what James says here in verse 14. James says, what does it profit? In other words, what's the use of saying? Because it's not doing any good. He said, what does it profit, my brethren? So he's calling these people church members, brothers and sisters in Christ. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And some translations it says, can that kind of faith save him? Because my Bible tells me that if we're in Christ, this isn't up there, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if I am in Christ, I am a new what? Creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. And so there's something different in me. If I'm saying I'm a Christian, should I be stingy? Should I be hateful? Should I spout off with my mouth or with my thoughts? No. Saving faith changes who we are, what we say, and what we do. Now, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what?
Dead.
But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is
dead?
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And that, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Dead also. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have read your word this morning, God, I pray that you would bless the reading of it. Lord, I'm thankful for the many, Lord, whose lives back up what we say they are. Lord, they show it in their love for you and for others. They show it in their giving. They show it in their service. Lord, they show it by going out of their way to make a difference in somebody's life. Lord, help us today to examine our hearts, our minds, our lives, our actions, our words, Lord, to see if what we say we are matches who we really are, what we really do. Lord, I can't convict, only you can do that. Lord, I can't change anybody's life, but you can. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you would have your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, help us to listen to your word. Lord, you started that out in James. Lord, we need to ask for wisdom and trials, but we also need to hear and to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So, Lord, I pray today that you would just bless our time. May we leave here, Lord, in obedience to you. In what area of our lives, Lord, you deal with us today. May it bring honor and glory to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we know that James has been dealing with the issue of saying things and not actually living them out. Some people would say that James and Paul are at odds with each other, because in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, I think we've got that on the screen. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, right? Isn't that what Paul says? Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, let's stop right there. Some people say, well, what James is saying in chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 is different than what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And if you look down head to head, you say, well, they may have a case for that. Till you get to verse 10, right? Till you get to verse 10, because some people, if you take it out of context, you can make it say what you want to say, and some people say, well, it doesn't matter what I do, because Paul says I'm only saved by faith, and that's the only way to get saved. And he's right, they're right. But if I am saved, guess what it's going to cause me to do? It's going to cause me to work. Amen? Look at what it says. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. In other words, you are God's masterpiece. It doesn't matter whether you're big, tall, short, skinny. It doesn't matter. You are God's masterpiece, okay? But why did God create you? To have fellowship with him, right? That's number one goal, for us to honor, praise God, have fellowship with him, have communion with him. But he didn't save me, and he didn't save you to sit around and do nothing. Right? Because if his only purpose was to save you, why didn't he take us all to heaven the moment we say, Jesus, come into my heart? If that was his purpose for your life, and for some people that may be true. But if we're still alive after we have Jesus come into our hearts and lives, then that means that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And so here's what Paul goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. And when did God prepare all this? Beforehand. Way before the foundations of the world, God knew who you were. God knew What you were going to look like. God knew all your faults and your pimples and your scars, and he knew every single thing about you, and he said, I still got something for you to do. You see, you don't have to work in God's kingdom. God has designed you and created you to serve him. And it's a blessing and an honor to serve in God's work. And he didn't just call pastors and preachers and missionaries to do that. He's called all of us to do it, to do good works. And he planned this way beforehand, that we should walk in them. You see, James is saying, listen, there's a type of person who says they have faith in verse 14 of James chapter 2. Oh, and he said, what does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith? What good is it to say you have faith if your works don't back up what you're saying? There was an old saying when I was growing up, don't never let your mouth overload your backside, right? Don't never let, but how many of us live in, I probably shouldn't have said that, sir. I said it correctly, it wasn't. How many of us do that though in our walk with the Lord? Oh, we talk the talk. But do we walk the walk? Do we live out what we claim to be? Are we doing what we claim who we are? Because here again, if we're in Christ, we are something new. And before, we didn't have the power to do it. Because now that we're in Christ, we have the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit living where? Inside of us. That gives us the ability to do all the things he wants us to do. See, James gives us an example of a false claim of faith. And that false claim is to say that we have something when it doesn't show up in our lives. Because if we haven't been changed to do the works that God has created us to do, then we need to ask ourselves, are we in Christ? Are we in him? In him we have all the blessings, all the things that we need to do what he wants us to do. But to say something and not live it out is at odds with each other. So we need to examine our hearts and minds to see if it is true. In verses 15 and 16, the example is simple here that James gives to us. He says, listen, folks, if your church, if William Baptist Church, has a brother or sister who is naked, that means they have no clothes to wear. It's 35 below zero outside. They haven't eaten in a week. And they come in to your church and they say, I got a need, Brother Tim. And I turned and I said, man, I feel so sorry for you. Now, I feel bad for you. Man, I wish there was something I could do. I hope everything works out for you. I hope God answers your prayer. And I shake their hand and they walk out the door. But listen carefully now. I'm going to read the verse. If a brother or sister is naked, that means they have absolutely nothing. Destitute, daily food, haven't eaten in a week. And one of you says, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What good is it? What profit is it? Have you glorified God in that? Have you been the hands and feet of Jesus? Have you seen that person without? Because when Jesus saw the needs of the multitude, he was moved to what? Compassion. What does compassion mean? By my definition, move to action. It's not enough for Jesus to look at the crowd and said, "Oh, I feel sorry for all y'all. Y'all go to town and go to pizza and get something to eat." He didn't say that. What did he say? Who's got something to eat? Now, see, there's a difference in what we say compared to what we do. In Luke chapter 10, we all know this story well, so I'm going to kind of just swing down through it as we go through. Jesus was talking about the, you know, being questioned and all that, who we should love and all this. And so Jesus comes and he starts speaking this parable, and we know it as the story of the Good Samaritan, right? And so Jesus is questioning, the guy questioned him, and Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And then the lawyer wanted to justify himself and said, "Who is my neighbor?" Isn't that what we do? We see somebody leading down the road and say, "Well, they're not my next door neighbor, so I'm going to go on by." No. The lawyer wanted to justify himself. And I think we're guilty of that ourselves a lot of times because we want to be the judge, the jury, the lawyer, and everybody else all together. But Jesus said, "Listen, you know, the man went down, he's on a road trip, business trip, and then he's going from point A to point B. And along the way, he gets beat up, beaten half to death, he's bleeding, laying in the ditch. And the Pharisee comes by and he sees him, and you know, he sees him, but he just walks on by. The other one comes by, and Levi, and he looks over there and comes and checks him out. He says, "Man, you sure are in bad shape. I'm glad I'm not you." And he walks on. Now, those first two people would say they were what? They were religious. But then you have a Samaritan that comes by, and he's busy, he's on a road trip, and he comes over here and he sees the need, and he gets down and he helps the man, bandages him up, pours his oil on his wounds, wraps him up, and puts him on his horse and takes him to the inn and pays for his rent. Amen. This man had to get down. He had to get dirty. He had to spend some money and some time on somebody he didn't even know. Could that man in the ditch do anything for that man? No. Could you do anything for the Lord until he saved you? You see, Jesus then asked the lawyer a question. He said, "Who had compassion on him?" And he said, "The one who stopped to take care of him." You see, it's one thing to say I'm religious, it's one thing to say I'm a Christian, but it's another thing to do something about it when we have opportunities. Oh, acts of compassion. I thought about this. I did have in my office back over in Moultrie, I had a little sign he printed out on my pegboard in my office that said, "Faith in Action." And these verses I have listed there, 14 through 26, faith in action. Because faith is a what? In the English language, what is faith? It's an action word, right? It's a verb. It is not something that I do. It's not an object. It is something that is an action word. It is something that I do. So if I say that I have faith in Jesus Christ and I do not live it out, I do not show it to anybody, then guess what? Is my faith real? Is it true faith if it neglects those who are in need? I already quoted this verse, but 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, we are new in Christ. We have the ability to do the things that the Lord gives us to do. All old things should be gone away with, the selfishness, the self-righteousness, and everything else. And we should be focusing not only just on our own needs, but also on the interests of others as well. See, James and Paul both said the same thing, that we are saved by faith. But our works show that we're saved. You see what I mean? And so as we look down through here, we think about these things. There are many people on this planet that believe the right things, right? They believe the right things. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They believe he's coming again. We can believe all the right things. Have all the right Sunday school answers, amen? We can know everything there is to know about the Bible. But if they don't show up in what we do, what we say, what good are they? If it hasn't impacted our life and changed the way that we live and how we love and how we serve others, then is it real faith in Christ? Faith is something we do. It is an action that we take. Not to earn our salvation, right? Not to earn it. But if I am saved, then Ephesians 2:8-9 says that I'm supposed to have works that go along with it, right? I'm saved by faith, but I'm also saved to do God's work. Look at verses 18 through 29. Someone will say, because there's always that someone, amen? When you see this in Scripture, you know somebody's trying to make an excuse. Right? So you write that outside the Bible and say that I said it. Don't mind. Some say, you have faith and I'm doing works. And then James makes an interesting statement. He says, show me your faith without works. Show them to me without works. And I'll show you my faith by my works. Can we honestly say that in our lives that, you know, hey, you know, Paul was pretty straightforward and you know, I wish I was a lot more like Paul. That's definitely want to be more like Christ. But Paul made this statement in several, I think at least two, maybe three times. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can we show the world around us by not just what we say, but what we do? Can we show the world around us, hey, imitate me as I'm imitating? Can we live out in our lives to where others, and James is saying the same thing, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? Great. Even the demons believe and tremble. Now the question here is simply this. Are the demons going to be in heaven? So what is that reference for? You can say it, but if it hasn't changed your life, then is it real? And he goes on to say, listen, you know, it's one thing to say, here again, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to do it, to live it out, to let it be a part of your life. Is there evidence in our lives of who Christ is? Is there evidence in our love? Is there evidence in how we serve each other, not just here in the church, but in the community as well? just a few thoughts here. If we say we have faith, why doesn't it show up in us telling others about Jesus? If we say we have faith, then why don't we pray as we should? If we say we have faith, why don't we give back to the Lord? If we say we have faith, why aren't we giving so that others can know Christ? I'm not trying to be legalistic, okay? I think y'all know me better than that. But if my faith doesn't change what I do and why I do it and how I do it, then the question comes back to, is it real faith? Is it just something I'm saying? Or is it something that has truly changed my life? Now, moving down to verse 21 through 26. Listen, because James gives us three illustrations here that I think show us how we should model those who have gone before. He gives us Old Testament examples. He says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? And then it goes on to say there in verse 22, you see that faith was working together with his works and my works. Faith was made perfect. Here's the illustration that, the example that James has given to us. Isaac, and Abraham takes his son, he puts the wood, the knife, and everything else on the son for his son to carry. Isn't that interesting? They go up to the top of the mountain, and the son's asking the whole time, well, Dad, you got wood, you got the knife, where's the sacrifice? Now, I'm going to tell you, and don't get me wrong, but my dad's 89 years old, fits in me in April, and as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about, you know, when I was in my 20s, if my dad said he was going to sacrifice me on the altar, guess what I'd have done? I'd have knocked daddy in the head and kept on running, amen? when did God know that Abraham's faith was true? Was it when they started up the mountain? Was it when they loaded the wood on Isaac's back? Was it when they got the servants together and started out? Was it when they got to the top of the mountain? No. When was it that God knew for certain that Abraham's faith was real? When Abraham raised that knife into the air, he had already bound Isaac, laid him on the firewood, amen? And when he raised his hand into the air to drive it into his son's chest, God said, stop. God said, stop. When Abraham was willing to give the most precious thing in his life to the Lord, God said, okay, you've proved that you have faith. And then he gives us another example. Here's Rahab. Now, we wouldn't want her in our church, would we? It's amazing God chose her to be in the lineage of Jesus, amen? Here's Rahab, a prostitute. She's heard about the Israelites and the God of the Israelites. She's heard about them, and she's heard about it enough that her faith starts to materialize. And so you have these strangers who come in, the Israelites, and they're seeking out the land, looking to see what it needs to happen to be able to conquer it. And so as she's being commanded not to have any contact with the Israelites, just like all the rest of the citizens of the city, guess what happened? They came to her house, and she knew they weren't supposed to be there, but she believed in the God of Israel enough that she did what? She hid them. She hid them and led them down another way so they wouldn't be found out. How did she prove her faith? By what she did. right? She proved her faith by hiding these men, knowing that she could be put to death if she was found out. She didn't care about the consequences of mankind. She put her faith in the God of Israel, right? And go back and read this story and follow Jericho. Go back and read it and find out. But here's the point. Because James makes one more illustration here, and he talks about the human body. Let's go on down to the next, verse 26. Look at what it says here, this third example. He says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." He's talking about the body and the spirit. If all of a sudden I'm standing up here, my heart stops beating, or for some reason I was getting choked on something, and all of a sudden my spirit leaves my body, can my body do anything? It has no more power. It has no more life in it because my heart stopped and my breathing stopped and my brain activity has stopped. And so my body, therefore, now is just who I was. And James goes on to say, listen, so then faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead. How does that show up in my life? How does it show up in your life? Are you just saying it? Or is it real? Can others see the difference in your life? And could they say, well, you know, I saw so-and-so, they used to do this, but now they, you know, they're serving in the church, they're doing this, they're loving their wife, loving their kids, loving their husband. They're doing these things that they used to didn't do, but now the love of God is working in them and through them, and I see a change in them. I see how they're ministering not only to the people and to the church, but to the community around them. I see a difference in the people. There's something different about the people at Wigan Baptist Church than the other churches of the other people in the community. There's something different about the way they love on you and take care of you and help you out when times of need. Faith without works is dead. What about our lives? Is it just something we say, or is it something we do? Is my faith real? Or is it only something that I talk about? How am I living out? And I'm asking this question to myself, but also for you to ask yourselves. How am I living out the faith that I claim to have? Am I, like Abraham, willing to sacrifice the things that I count the most dear to me in order to show that I trust God, that I have faith in Him? And am I like Rahab, who would say, you know, I don't care what the world around me says, I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to do whatever it takes to please Him, to serve Him. I don't care what it costs me, even if it costs me my life. I want my faith to be shown to people, not for my glory, amen, not for me, but because of my faith in who God is and what God has done for me. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? I know this morning, I believe that probably everyone here is saved. Praise God. But how's our faith being shown? How are we living out our faith to the world around us? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time invitation, Lord, this is one of these passages that, Lord, it always gets on my heart, my mind, even on my toes. Lord, we're all busy. We all have things to do. We all have bills to pay and places to go and people to see. But Lord, so often we are willing to drive by those who are in need. From those who are destitute and really don't have. Lord, and your word doesn't distinguish between those who have placed themselves in those positions and those who have other means. But Lord, help us to be mindful, Lord, of all those who do not have, who are literally, Lord, without clothes, without food. Lord, help us to make a difference in their lives. Lord, help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, help us to love them with our mind, with our heart, with our soul. But Lord, also do it through showing of our willingness to go to them with our feet, a willingness to serve them with our hands. Lord, even though it may cost us, we may have to get down and get dirty. We may even have to shed a few tears and sweat a little bit and maybe even shed a little blood, Lord, to serve somebody who needs us, who needs you. Lord, help us to live a life, Lord, of faith, by living out what we claim to be. Lord, help us to show others who you are to us and the difference you have made in our lives. Lord, have your way in this invitation. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to be saved, Lord, who needs to give their life to you, oh, Lord, I'll do my best to show them the way. Lord, all they have to do is come and say, Brother Tim, I need to know. For others, Lord, maybe we need to just bow our hearts, our heads, our knees to you, Lord, and just ask for forgiveness for maybe looking down on someone, for judging others. Maybe it's even for passing by someone in need. But Lord, help us to do the right thing today by, Lord, admitting our sins, confessing our sins, and turning from our sins to do what you would have us to do. Lord, may we always have your mind, your eyes, your heart, your hands, and your feet, Lord, to do whatever it needs to be done to serve you, to show others there is a better way. Lord, have your way in this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.